know, last time I was up here, I talked a little bit about the long game. I heard that spoken about when they were doing some negotiations with the Chinese, and some of the talking heads were talking about, when you're talking with them folks, they play a long game. You can't go by what they say at the time. They got an agenda, and they will patiently wait you out. We tend to be maybe more in our culture, the Western culture maybe. Everything's got to be hot now. We want answers. We want a deal, man, and we think everything that's agreed upon and signed off on is going to last. I guess it depends on who you're dealing with. But we talked about, really biblically speaking, the long game has been, you know, the Lord has been working a long game even before the foundation of the world. That's pretty amazing, and the Bible actually speaks of those things. Before the foundation of the earth, or before time began, God had a plan, and he's working it, and still is. Now, I know some of us have enjoyed the Chosen series because, like the producer said, or the director, and the guy, you know, this Dallas Jenkins guy, he said he always grew up seeing these Jesus movies. You know, normally you see a movie, it's, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they're trying to cover the life of Christ, his ministry, usually ending in his death, burial, and resurrection, and jam it all in 90 minutes with commercials. And some of them are kind of cheesy. They don't spend a whole lot of time fleshing out the apostles that were significant players, obviously. And that kind of is the way movies go. You know, they take a, could be historical, a movie about something or somebody, and you're going to see the whole thing in, like I said, a couple hours. But it's not really getting you into all that was going on between the commercials. You know, our life is full of commercials, our lives. But if you were able to condense your life down right into the essentials, and I think that's what God actually does and can do, takes out all the commercials. That means the time you brushed your teeth and you went to bed, or you ate a cheeseburger or something, or you went and washed the dog, or I should say wash the car or walk the dog, things you had to do, but it doesn't really mean anything, doesn't necessarily have any eternal consequence if you take all the commercials out of our lives. We get our 80, maybe 80, that'd be a general, you know, roughly speaking, as Moses said, a lifespan for a human. Some earlier they pass, some die old, in my mind. I'm glad we don't have the kind of longevity that you see in Genesis. 900 years? No way. Life goes on and on. One generation come, one generation go. This eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus that came into this world in the fullness of time after thousands of years of prophecy came true in our past 2,000 years ago. And you know that. We're talking about when Christ was born. And I'll throw this in here anyway. Just coming up, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up in a few days. And then, you know, it's our so-called holiday season. It's the Christmas time and, you know, going to all that. Which is okay, and it's really recognized around the world. Believe it or not, we'll be going to Vietnam here this week, and they got Christmas trees in only certain spots. You'll see a weird-looking Santa Claus or something. They really don't have a whole lot of understanding about some of that stuff. But hey, man, in a lot of places, man, because it's the Western culture and it's money, it will appear. That's fine. Now, there are believers there, true believers, biblical believers, and we will be getting with them. We will be doing our Bible studies with these groups. Each group, you know, it's usually 2.5 days from, you know, all morning, lunch break, then afternoon. And, you know, it's great. It's good. You know, it's a... So there are true believers there. But this idea that each one of us, and I know it goes on here because I hear you guys too, that over a year's time, even just in our little cross section of our communities, we have had various things that everyone's going through that is typical, common to man all over the world. We've had people here that have lost family members, passed, got old, passed. Many going through health issues. You know, that's common to man. We have all that here. Struggles with the economy, struggles with this. New diagnoses we've just heard recently. Common to man all over the world. And especially during the times of trials, and especially maybe coming up on the holiday season, people actually start thinking, they feel their mortality. I've done a few funerals where it talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's better to go into the house of mourning rather than the house of feasting because the living will lay it to heart. While life goes on out there, it seems like, you know, people busy, 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 running here to fro. But here then people have to come out, take some time out, because reality sets in. Either you end up at a hospital, meeting with your loved ones and discussing, whatever. It's just common to man. And in this long game and in this long haul, those things will affect all of us, because that's way it is here on this earth. Now Peter says what the Lord does for his folks, and already been brought out, I think, in one of the messages here, just I don't remember now already how short my memory is, Brian or Rick. The long haul, speaking of the very fact that that high priestly prayer, not only did this is right before he's going to be crucified, he spoke to the Father, praying not only for those that God had given him, specifically to about the apostles, but for all those who would believe on them, him, through their word. In other words, you and me. Right now, this present hour, I guess it was great. But this generation, unless the Lord come back, is going to pass. There'll be another generation coming up. Maybe right here, occupying these seats. I hope so. You know, very well could be. That's the way it works. And that's the way it should be. But our time here is not going to be permanent. But yet, our purpose, being called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, we have been saved to save others. The Apostle Paul says plainly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, all the things that you have heard from me, talking to the Christians, among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, I mean, he's writing to Timothy, but that is a statement for all time. The Great Commission is for his people. Go ye into all the world and share good news with the people. Make disciples, he said, of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That takes time. Disciple making is laborious. It's going to take time. Yeah, it's commitment. Not only on the part of the disciple maker, but on the disciplee. Did I say that right? Is that a word? Yeah. It is now. You can use it. That's what it's all about. We've been saved to save others. God calls us out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. All over the world, this message is relevant to the lives of human beings. It'll be that way when we see the Vietnamese next week. They're humans. They got Bibles. And these are people that are immersed into Christ. You know, not everybody over there is, but they're not here either. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. Whosoever will. He who believes it and is immersed will be saved. Those that don't believe it will be condemned. That's a choice. Now, he does say, many called, few chosen. Few will be that find it on this narrow way that leads to life. You know that, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. It is a narrow way, straight and narrow way, and a broad, wide way that lead to destruction. And many going in that way. Well, why is that? Because they don't choose life. Because people have free will. People have free will. It'll never be taken away from them. But we are the go-to people, and we have to see ourselves that way. I'll share, I just got this yesterday. Poor Anya in Ukraine, well, she's in Poland with her family. You guys know she had to get out of there when that war broke out. And they were allowing women and old people to get out. And, you know, we've known Anya for years. We've knew her before the war. We had good work going on in Ukraine. But since that time, since the war, it is bad. It's worse now. I mean, they keep talking 6,000 people a day are dying in that place. No end in sight. And Anya sends me a message, you know, with these peace talks supposedly coming up. Russia is not a player, man. This is not going to end well for the Ukrainian people, is what she says. I think this will be the worst now. She said, it's so unfair, it makes me sick. But there's nothing, she said, we can do about it. No one cares about the genocide of the nation. It's easier to close the eyes on so many things. She said the worst part is that they demand that we can't complain about the torture, the rape, the organ harvesting, the child trafficking, or anything like that. We can't go to court for anything like that. I think it's just the worst. Plus, so many in this culture now have just given up. They've obliterated our nation. She said, I think I'm just deceiving myself. They've already destroyed this nation. It doesn't even matter. Now, is she going to drop that on my plate? You know, which she's done that before. She's venting. But remember, these are not bad hair days, is what she's talking about. This is a real human thing. But that's the way this world is, and I've had to try to encourage her before. And when I do, she gets a little quiet. Then she'll say after a couple of days, thanks for reminding me. So I had to respond. But what I told her, which in this, I'm going somewhere with this for all of us in our disciple making, something we all have to remember. I'll come back to it. But what I told her is, I agree with you. Her assessment of the whole miserable, rotten situation, I wasn't going to argue with her. It's her life. She's there. I told her, I agree with you. I agree with you. In a way, that disarms a person that's ready to argue. I said, there is no justice in this world. And the wickedness and the corruption are all over the world. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies under the influence of the evil one. That is true. God does not take away man's free will to choose. This is the world that man has chosen. All this stuff going on is not what God chose, it's what man chose. And he does not take away our free will and our choices. Now, the natural disasters, you have no say over. When we get to Vietnam, Central Vietnam was just hit by the worst, they call them typhoons in Asia, but it's a hurricane, what we call hurricanes. Them winds hit, come in the shore at way at 160 miles an hour. That is a storm. They said the flooding in Vietnam, it was worse since 1964. That was a while ago. And they get typhoons. It devastated. So, of course, as we're going there, they're telling us how bad it was and how many people who don't have nothing in the first place around there. We're going to visit two blind villages like we normally do. Actually, two in Wei and one in Canto. Blind villages, we'll visit orphanages. You know, we'll see Mr. Phuc up there in Nha Trang, Central Vietnam. You know, he's the guy that's been burying all these little aborted babies for some years now. When we were there in 2023, the number was over 20,000 he'd buried and over 200 he had saved. Well, I'm sure that number's gone up, but that's the most sobering, sad, quiet little place, Garden of Angels, he calls it. As far as you can see, looking down through his little garden there, all these little nameplates of all these little aborted little babies. I mean, this world just reeks with sadness, sorrow, destruction, and we're it. We are the only ones. I mean, I could show you in Ephesians 4, you could start in verse 17, of what we were all like before we came to the knowledge of the truth. We were in darkness, we were ignorant, we were deceiving ourselves. I mean, that's the wisdom of the world we all followed it. Those people don't have no answers for other people today. The only people on this earth that are able to unpackage these real-life situations that are going on right here in this assembly and next door and down the road and all the way across the oceans and always will be. I told Anya, I said, look, when I told her I agree with you, he died, God don't take away our free will. He said, I said, if this war ended, there'll be another one until the end of the world with famines and earthquakes. I said, I don't want to sound like I'm minimizing the pain or the suffering, but I said, it's not permanent. It is temporary, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. While we do not look at the things that are seen, Paul said, to the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. This light affliction, he said, that we're going through is only momentary, yet it's working. It is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That is a fact, and it's that truth will endure forever. That's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. The word of the Lord endures forever, Peter said. And this is the word which by the gospel has preached you. What I say to her is the truth. I'm waiting for Anya to come back. Maybe she hasn't responded yet. Maybe in another day. Thank you for reminding me. Because she knows. She's been our interpreter before. We couldn't take Oleg into Ukraine when Jeff and I went in 2024. Normally, Oleg was the interpreter, and he's really good at it when we go to Ukraine. Because Ukrainians and Belarusians got along really well. Well, since this war, and all them missiles, a lot of them are coming out of southern Belarus and hitting Kyiv. So the Ukrainians have decided Belarus at war with us. So Oleg, I said, well, you know, we need an interpreter. He said, well, you know, I can't go with you. He said, they'll kill me. You know, I go, oh, that's right. So guess who had to interpret? Anya did. So it's not like, you know, I can say things like that to her because she knows. I know she gets frustrated. In fact, I'm not minimized. The pain when we went, Jeff and I went in 2024. You know, previously people were always just as, they were just as nice and friendly. Everything was great until this war. Now it's in their eyes, man. They are afraid of how this is going to end, and it won't end well. One woman was trying to tell us, she was in this program over there that this psychologist who was trying to help and treat this people with all this shock coming into her mental health. She was a director in a district providing mental health services before the war. And her clientele, her numbers for the month weren't nothing, man. You know, some domestic violence, some substance abuse, or, you know, depression or something. All of a sudden, they were inundated with hundreds of people, abused children, people that witnessed these assaults and dismemberments and killings. And, man, Oksana was overwhelmed, and she was trying to recruit anybody that had any sense at all to take a crash course on how to talk to people that have been through stuff. She was grabbing teachers or, you know, anybody. And so this one lady, Marguerite, maybe Jeff remembers her, she was trying to tell us her testimony. She's in the program. I mean, she was near the eastern side of Ukraine. When they woke up in the morning, the Russian tanks were parked right in their front yard, and they look out the window and they see Russian tanks. The invasion had happened during the night. Now, the Russians hadn't got to the point they was abusing and harming and killing the civilians yet. I mean, that was going to happen. But they got out of there soon enough. All they got to was the western part of Ukraine. They didn't get out of the country, and her husband ended up in the fight. And so she's trying to tell us about that morning she woke up and saw these tanks and had her kids with her and was trying to do normal life stuff until checkpoint after checkpoint and Chechenian mercenaries confronting her. She's scared to death, and the more she talked about her experience, the bigger her eyes got. And her hands started to tremble. I'm thinking, oh, maybe she shouldn't tell us the story. You know, she's the one supposed to be training now to how to talk to people about how to deal with this stuff. And obviously she was just brand new in her training. And I'm thinking she's going to come apart here in a minute. But she was reliving it. She was reliving it. All this that people going through. There is only one people that can deal with this, that are supposed to be able to be the go-to people to go into this world and be able to unpackage what is called good news. The situation, as I quoted to Anya, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man's perishing, the inward man being renewed day by day. Paul referred to all what goes on down here as light affliction. Light affliction, which is only momentary. Working a far more exceeding weight and turning away to glory. Now, you can't start out like that with people that just got done telling you about all that they went through. And don't ever start out by saying, I know how you feel. No, you do not. Unless you've actually been there. Unless you've lost a loved one, a spouse, don't tell them, I know how you feel. Don't ever say that to them, because you just minimize what they're telling you. And unless you've been through a war situation, a refugee situation, or a personal, you know, serious physical ailments or whatever, don't start out by saying, oh, I know how you feel, and then start telling about your brother's uncle's cousin went through, and don't do that. Tell them, I hear you. I hear you. Let them know you hear them. And don't just start preaching at people. We're not. You need to sit and listen. That's what we need to do. That's what they want you to do. They don't want to hear about your uncle's brother's cousin's sister's neighbor. They don't want to hear that. They just want to know you're there. But when it comes time appropriate for us to go ahead and unpackage this massive, overarching truth that's been in place, God's eternal purpose, before there even was an earth, that he, playing the long game, patiently revealed to all of mankind, to where you get to Ephesians 3 now, the Apostle Paul says, now it's out. The whole picture, the hidden knowledge has been revealed by revelation, Paul said, to me, as I wrote to you before in a few words. Now he said, when you read what I wrote, you know what I know. And not only that, now the entire angelic realm knows God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, because 1 Peter 1 tells you it was angels that wanted to look into what in the world is God doing. Matt brought that out. No, it was Mike Hartman. I think I told you that last time I was up here. Mike Hartman brought that out. What we know is what angels actually desired to look into, because they didn't know. Ephesians 3 said nobody knew. The angelic realm didn't know, and nor did any of mankind. And what we know now is what was concealed from the foundation of the world. And it's been out now for 2,000 years. And guess who holds custody of it? You and me. You and me. Now, if you are a true Bible-believing, immersed into Christ Christian, walking according to knowledge, that's who he's talking to. He ain't talking about just religious people, because a whole lot of religious people, gee whiz, look at who Jesus was talking to, the most religious people on the face of the earth. And they couldn't see it. They didn't see him as their prophesied Messiah that all the prophets have been talking about all the way from the beginning. Ever since the let there be light being the first prophecy of him coming, the light of the glory of God that would shine in the face of Jesus Christ. The whole book is about that. Always was. And those Pharisees couldn't see it. The blind guy could see it. John 9, the blind guy could see it. Jesus said, Judgment, I've come into this world that those who see or don't see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And the Pharisees, religious guys with their robes and titles, they standing there, they said, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you are blind, you have no sin. But because you say you see, your sin remains. They couldn't see it, and they were the religious go-to guys. Jesus even said, the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 23 and verse 1, they sit in Moses' seat, whatever they bid you observe, observe and do, but don't do after their example, because they say and don't do. And he called them, you hypocrites, you phonies, you snakes, you vipers. How will you escape the condemnation of hell? Woo! That came out of the gentle master? You betcha he did. He never talked to a sinner like that. He sure talked to the religious phonies, though, like that. Them people are not the go-to people. The people that are custodians of the book, the scriptures, the truth, are the pillar and the ground of the truth of which the church is supposed to uphold. We don't add to, we don't take away. These people that are going through this, they don't need worldly counsel. They need people that are able to unpackage God's word and help them to see the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of what God has called them to come out of the darkness that is in this world. It ain't never going away. It ain't never going away. I'm sitting here still looking at mine at 2 Corinthians 5, so I'll give it to you. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what the folks need. The God of hope is able to fill them with all joy, all peace, in believing that they may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You think these people over here, like with Anya, you think they need some hope? You think they could use a little bit of joy right about now? How about some peace? And here he's talking that God, according to Romans 15 and 13, can fill them with all joy, all peace, in believing. In believing what? In believing the message that we are to bring. But we have to be, as Paul wrote to Timothy, those things we've learned and heard and seen from him, do and pass these things on to others, faithful men able to teach these things that he said you've heard, you've seen from me among many witnesses. Same, commit to faithful men, women, context, who are able to help and teach others also. We're it. They need you. They need me. We all do. And I'd like to think right now, because I've already mentioned, you know, does it take 1 year, kind of a cross-section of our assembly here coming from, you know, the local population here. We've had everything. We've had sickness. We've had death. We've had people going through difficult times, all kinds of challenges, because that's just the way of all the earth. Like I tried to tell Anya, this war could end, Anya. Psalms 46 says God ends all wars. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in half, and he burned the chariot. But then there'll be another one, and another pandemic, and another famine. Because here it never ends. It's okay. Because he doesn't have to end that. It's only temporary for a while anyway. But we have the victory that overcome the world, 1 John 4 tells us, our faith. Because we're designed for this stuff. See, that God has a way of taking a human being and do a work and a transformation of the newing of his mind, making him a totally new creation with old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he doesn't leave it right there. Oh, no, it gets better. Now, all things, Paul would say, are of God, who has reconciled us, even today, us in this room, to himself through Jesus Christ. And guess what he did? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He passed that baton right on down the road, all the way down here to 2025, to you and I. First it was in Christ, then the apostles. They were training and teaching others who went to train and teach others. That is, God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has now given us this ministry of reconciliation. That is that God, I'm in verse 19, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but, you know, forgiving our trespasses, committed to us, now Paul said, the word of reconciliation. Go ye, take this good news into all the world. Okay, now we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ, Paul said, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, Paul says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he came down here to become like us so we could become like him. Did Jesus have quality of life? Yep. Was Jesus led by the Spirit and strengthened by the Spirit and led by the Spirit? Yep. I'm talking about Jesus Nazareth. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. What do I mean, Jesus of Nazareth? Why make the distinction? Because so many times people, they think of Jesus Christ, he immediately goes up on a pedestal way up there, far above all of us down here, who he doesn't even feel our pain anymore. Wrong. The Bible makes it clear the whole purpose of him coming down here and becoming like us, that he could be a faithful high priest and ministering to us, because of he being here in human form, was tempted in all points and suffered here so he could relate to us. That's the whole point. Jesus of Nazareth I'm talking about. Well, let's get him back down here where he wants to be for our sakes. Because guess what, pilgrims? That's who now you become. I'm just looking. I haven't turned my page. I haven't even turned my page. I'm looking. My eyeball's over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just looked back from chapter 5 to chapter 4. Paul says in verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God, this is the Genesis 1:3 passage I referred to a few minutes ago. It is the same God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. That is Genesis 1:3. Let there be light. That's what Paul's talking about. Well, watching preachers, some preachers try to, they do the twister game, you know, put the hand on the red dot and the foot on a green dot, spin, you know, and they get all in a pretzel trying to explain to you, what is the light of Genesis 1:3? They know it ain't the sun and the moon, because see, Genesis 1:3 is day one. The light of the sun and the moon and the stars is day four. What the heck is the light of Genesis 3, or 1:3? I never heard anybody talk about it. They come up with some strange ideas what the light is. It is the light of the knowledge. For as God commanded light shone in our hearts to do what? Give the light of the knowledge. Where? Shining in your heart. This is in the heart, your eyes of understanding. The eyes of your understanding. The glory of God. It's about the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. That's what the light is. It's about God's glory. Oh, this was the plan. And it would be totally manifested in the fullness of time when his Son came and revealed him, declared him to the human race of who he was. And all God's attributes would be manifested in through Christ. And guess what he says? Guess what he says? We have this treasure. Verse 7. We have this treasure. What treasure? This message of the glory of God that's been concealed since the foundation of the world, now made manifest. Paul said, when you read what I wrote, you know what I know. Preach it. Preach it. Teach it to others. Faithful, who will teach it to other people. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that came into this world. Jesus said, I am a light that came into this world so people don't have to be in that darkness no more. The darkness that Anya wants to just go away. But the sad thing, which is just as true, but I know people get so anxious for the trial to cease. Oh, but you know well as me. The last shot, when it's fired over there, that war will not be over for all those survivors. Because we've seen it when we went to Kosovo just recently, same thing. Abney was shocked because he started some of those associations of families to group together whose loved ones are missing. You know, when you don't have closure because your loved ones are gone, you know they're probably dead and buried in these mass graves, because Kosovo had a lot of mass graves. And the thing is, what Avni was shocked of, I think it was a month ago or 6 weeks ago, we were online with him. He said, you know, Stevie, he said, I was going around to some of them associations that I started 20 years ago. I helped the people get organized. He's really good at that kind of stuff, a planner, and getting into all his qualifications. He's quite qualified to do this governmental bureaucracy stuff. He's a professor of it. Anyway, he found the people going through to have these associations are just as depressed as they were 20 years ago. They're reliving it, reliving it, reliving it. See, it won't end. It won't end. Time, the old people say, time heals all wounds. Oh, we just finally just get used to the idea, but people a lot of times never get over their losses and their pain or what they suffered. There has to be something more powerful than those images rotating around their brain, reoccurring images. They can't get out of the cycle. They need something coming into that darkness, a powerful, powerful light that can pierce through that. Jeff or somebody brought up this morning in our thing over here, the first hour. Oh, I guess it was Don, maybe. You know, when Paul was blinded on that road to Damascus, it was daytime. It was high noon. And the light that shone around him, the scripture bears out, was brighter than the noonday sun. Now, you go out here and you try to look at that sun. Somebody made a comment about on today, it's a great morning. You can't even look in that direction at that sun. You imagine a light brighter than that? That's what surrounded him. A light brighter than the noonday sun. There has to be a light that can go right into that darkness where these people are at and pierce through that. And that's why God can allow the darkness is greater than you could even imagine. What'd she say? They're talking of the torture, that we can't talk about the rape, the organ harvesting, and the child trafficking. She said, we're not allowed to even speak about it because they want to jam this peace deal down our throat, not hold them Russians accountable. I get it. I feel for them. I grieve for them. But that, being all mad and upset about the injustices in this world and about what happened, is not going to bring the people back. Our message is going to be more powerful than that darkness, and we are the ones to deliver it. We got to be patient with it. We don't want to just jump in people's face and overwhelm them about preaching Jesus yet. I told you, you're going to be patient. Don't tell them, oh, I know what you mean, when you don't. Don't say that. Listen. But when we get our opportunity, God will provide it. He will provide the opportunity. And then we begin, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that you have. Give the answer with meekness and in fear. And the fear means a good fear, a respectable thing. This is serious business. These people are hurting. These people are hurting. Right here. You have to be overseas. I'm just sometimes using those examples because I just got this yesterday. What am I supposed to do with it? I'm going to give her an answer, and I did. And I gave her the verse, too, by the way, 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, and this is from God, your situation is temporary. In fact, it's light affliction. Now, some people might think you're minimizing my situation, man. It is minimal when you compare it to the truth and the light and the glory of God. This world will end, or you'll end before it. Doesn't matter. It'll end when eternity dawns. These days, the Bible says, the former things will all be forgotten. The sadness, the sorrow, the crying, the tears, the sickness, and the death will all be gone. And forever is a long time. I get it, what it's like down here, but we have got to be able to unpackage this for the folks. We have this treasure. We have the message in our earthen vessel, in our mortal coil. We're here too, all of us. We're getting old, our outward man perishing. We ain't escaping it because we believe in Jesus. In fact, quite the contrary. You might find yourself going through more trials because you believe in Jesus. That the power of God, we have this in our earthen vessel, that the excellency of this power, what power? The life-changing power that people can observe in us may be of God. It's not of us. We ain't changing ourselves. We ain't making our face shine. God does. We are hard-pressed, Paul said, on every side. Yet we ain't crushed. We're perplexed sometimes, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Anya. See, there is hope for us to overcome. That's what the overcoming is. God don't change the world. He changes us. Hard-pressed, persecuted, not forsaken. Caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, because people see we're going through the same thing they're doing. But the life of Jesus, but look, the body, we're caring about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, he went through stuff, might be manifested where? In our mortal body, our bodies. That's what people are supposed to see. For we who live are always delivered for death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. Verse 11. Wow. Literally, you and I get to be Christ to this generation. Human beings, brothers and sisters of the human race. People going through stuff over there, we go through stuff over here. Many of you have suffered these things because it's just the way it is. But yet, if we can come from a perspective of being able to unlock the mysteries and communicate truth that will endure forever and will not ever pass away, boy, there is light at the end of that tunnel. Saying since verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith according to what they did and ever since in the Old Testament too, because this is a quote from the Old Testament. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, quote, I believe and therefore I spoke. Paul said, we also believe and we speak. We believe and we speak. And the people coming after us will believe and they will speak. Oh, man, we could go on. We could go on. We have to deal with these things, this life, on a regular basis, and we can do it with Christ in us, the hope of glory, all things possible, Paul said, through Christ, Christ seen in our mortal bodies. We are, as Jesus said, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And I've already said that we ought to be ready at all times to give an answer of the reason of the hope that we have with meekness and fear. A reason, presentation. Our faith is not wishful thinking. Our faith is based in evidence with a cloud of witnesses to back it up. We're made for it, and so's every human being you'll ever see on this planet. So, be ready to give that answer. And be ready to be the one to go ye. And that doesn't mean overseas, it means next door. And let somebody know that there is hope in this very miserable, broken world. Thanks for your attention this morning.